7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal. Hey, well, welcome out and abouters. I am your host, Captain DJ Mave, and you're listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and 92.3 FM, also streaming from KYRS.org, streaming around the world. And I am so excited today because I have cast members from the Spokane Falls Community College production of Reefer Madness. Welcome, everybody. Welcome. It's good to have you all here.
Thank you for having us. Yeah, we're excited to be here.
And, you know, Patty was the one who kind of set this up. Patty, who's the costumer extraordinaire, is distressing shirts right now to look like zombie shirts for another production, I think. So, or maybe for your production.
For our production.
Oh, okay. Sounds so this like thing ours. Has got everything. It's got zombies. It's got everything. Wow. And, you know, I've been to so many great productions at Spokane Falls Community College, and I think they're up there with every theater in Spokane, and maybe then some. I've just seen wonderful things, and I would, you know, I think people should know more about Spokane Falls. Now, this production is not going to be in your theater, though, is it? It's going, aren't they moving it to a different place?
Yeah, the Building 32 of SFCC's campus is
Building 32?
Yes.
Oh, God, no, not that place.
It's our music hall that has a pit on the stage for a live band to come play with us.
So okay.
That's where our performance is this round.
Okay, and that's this Thursday it starts, right?
Yeah, Thursday at 7:30.
Thursday at 7:30. And then when does it run till?
Till Saturday.
Saturday, okay, 7:30 each night.
Mm-hmm.
How do people, if they're interested in getting tickets, how would they get tickets?
We do have a ticket link. If you look on Google through Spokane Falls Reefer Madness, it should pop right up. The ticket portal will be through our Spartan Theater portal through the SFCC main campus's website. If you just scroll to the first little tab that you see on Google, it will send you a link.
Okay.
And you'll be able to purchase
tickets. Yeah, I think I did SFCC and it just...
Yeah.
You know, for some reason, SFCC... and Reefer Madness together in a search engine just kind of comes up with very few choices. It's kind of wild. I'm going to go around and I'm going to ask each one of you to introduce yourself and then tell us what your character, who your character is and what they do, what's their story. Go ahead, Zeke. You start it off.
All right. Well, I'm Zeke, and I'm playing Jack. I'm the main villain. The show. Recruiting young high schoolers to get them hooked on the evil drug of marijuana and keep them hooked and keep them in my clutches. I'm also George Washington, but yeah, you all know that character.
Yes, I've heard of him. He's on our flag.
Yeah,
he's on our flag. He's that guy. Okay. Yeah. All right.
And hi, I'm Kanan. I play Jimmy, who is he's the victim of the entire play. He is he's a victim to Jack's antics, and he gets hooked so tragically on the reefer drug of marijuana. It's really just a tragedy about his downfall, and if he can escape the clutches of the green leaf.
No, we need some WD-40. So you can't see what's going on in here, but we only have four microphones, and there's five of us. And I, two folks have to share a microphone. So you're going to hear this squeak. Kind of, and it's not a scary show, I don't think. So, yeah. Oh, that's even better.
Okay. My name is Ruby. I play the character of Mary Lane. She's described as a sweet little Mary Pickford type. She's kind of in her own world, you know, the picture-perfect American dream. Her boyfriend, Jimmy Harper, is an outstanding young citizen. And all she dreams about is growing up and getting married and having babies. And she particularly is afraid of reefer, the deadly drug, the drug menace of the 1930s. And unfortunately, her boyfriend, Jimmy Harper, seems to have been hooked himself. Will Mary get hooked? Or will she remain her innocent, sweet little self?
Oh, my goodness. That adoring fans want to know.
And I am Zach. I play Ralph. Basically, I am what happens when you... when Jack over here tries to get somebody hooked and they succeed. So I'm kind of maybe foreshadowing what will happen to Jimmy.
You're the cautionary tale.
I am the cautionary tale.
Oh my gosh.
A little bit of a coward as well.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think I really had a chance.
You were such an easy mark.
I was, yes. From an early age, now, Jack now, knew.
All of you, I mean, I'd say, I would take hazard to guess you're all in your 20s, I would think, or, yeah. or close to
close
it
enough.
At least.
Close
to it. So, I mean, this, I remember Reefer Madness when I was a kid, being of probably your age. It was a funny show. And the black and white movie toured around and people would watch it. Did you all know about this show before you got hooked on it?
Oh,
I did not. I'll be honest. I had to look it up.
Yeah.
The first time I saw it.
Yeah,
announced.
We have some peculiar choices at SOCC for our seasons, and this was definitely an introduction to the show for me. But there is a 2006 movie and a 1936 movie.
Yeah.
So
there's a musical out, yeah, right? Made for TV musical, I think.
So it gave us a pretty good idea of what to expect. And if you've seen it, listeners, you probably know exactly what to expect from our musical, too.
But not quite, because we're going to do things different.
And, we're going to do things different.
Actually,
and actually
you don't
way
know what's
better.
Happen.
Yeah.
You're going to need to come and see to see. Yeah.
Oh, there's going to be some twists. Okay. Did you know about it? Did you know about this?
Oh, no, not at all. I only knew about it because Ruby here just came to me one day. I was like, I need you to watch this movie because you're going to audition. You're going to audition for this with me. And I was like, well, okay, sure, I guess. And then the rest of the tale, it's history. It's history now.
Okay.
And so I knew about the movie before we actually did auditions. That was only because Ruby told the cast of the previous show, like, hey, this is what we're doing. And we had a giant watch party with the Little Red Riding Hood and the Power Mutants cast. And so we had, like, what, it was probably like 12 people crammed into my living room. We watched the old black and white movie. Then we watched the 2006 made for TV musical movie also, like back to back. And it was crazy.
What did you think? Because I was going to ask you if you guys had done something like that. What did you think when you looked at the musical compared to the original? Was it, did it stay true to the tone or was it?
Pretty similarly, like surprisingly, yeah. Like the events that happens in like the old like black and white one happen in the musical, just much more spoofed and goofy and musical like.
Sure, right. You have to have music if it's going to be a musical.
Yeah.
I mean that's a rule. You know, it was funny. I had done a radio play here of Plan 9 for Outer Space, and that one probably doesn't mean anything to you either. But that. Plan 9, so I adapted the movie to a radio play, and actually Patty was in it too. And it ties with Reefer Madness. Critics say some people think that Reefer Madness is the worst movie. Some people thought that Plan 9 is the worst movie ever made, but some people call it a tie. So I feel a kindred spirit with you a little bit on this thing. When you started doing this role, had you all been in musicals before? Are you comfortable with that? Was that something that you had to learn how to sing or?
Zach, so, you should answer this.
Yeah, this is the first production I've ever been a part of.
So oh, nice.
I was not used to anything that goes on in the musical world. And I do not envy anybody who puts on a production like this because it is a lot of work. But everybody's put in a lot of hours and it's really cool to see how it all comes together.
Yeah.
So first time.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And Ruby and I have been doing productions together since we were in high school. So yeah, it's been a minute because the transition from like high school stuff to doing things at the community college, Ruby sort of hopped on that before I did. So this is like the first time that we're actually it's all back together and it's like high school again, but like in a college setting almost, because everyone still kind of acts like high schoolers when you think about it. But.
Yeah. Yeah. Except for your teachers don't care if you don't do the homework. They just go, oh, yeah. Bye. Yeah.
I'd done a little musical in Newport once, but I only had one number and I didn't really dance in it.
Newport, Washington?
Yeah. The one up north.
Were you a Grizzly?
No, actually, okay. I'm from Deer Park, but the lady running the musical for the Newport one knew me from high school because she used to teach there, and one of their actors dropped out, and so she called me, and the show had already been running for like 2 weeks, and she's like, do you want to be a lead in the musical? You get to kiss a pretty girl, and I was like, all right.
Yeah, those were the best.
Sign me up. Wait,
I always feel like if somebody calls you and asks you to be in something, it's their fault if it doesn't work out. That's what I felt. The pressure's completely off when they ask you to do it. So that's pretty wild because it's a big cast. I mean, what is there, like 20 people in this thing? I started going through the cast members like page after page after page.
17
people. Mm-hmm. Wow. How long? Now, is there an intermission in the show?
There will be an intermission. I think it's 15 minutes.
Yeah.
15 minutes. And probably because it's at school, they can't be selling any gummies or anything like that. Yeah, I would imagine.
To get that off campus.
Yeah. I would think. I don't know. So, you know, what you two were in, did you go to the same high school together then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We both came from Ferris High School.
Ferris. Okay. Yep. Okay, a home of Ham on Regal.
Yes.
Yes. But you waited a little bit before were you kind of open? Oh, you know, I've got this theater thing behind me. I'm just going to, I'm recovered. I'm not going to be in it.
He's 2 years younger than me.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's the story.
I like to think that it's kind of like overcoming an addiction when you think about it, getting over theater.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So, I getting back into it was, it's fun, but it's, yeah, I tried to focus mainly on doing like outside theater acting, like seeing the, like getting into the Wee Few, like the local film community.
Yeah,
which is also just so great. But getting back into it reminded me just how also great the theater stuff is in Spokane and just how connected and cool everyone is.
Everybody is really supportive. I think every theater is very supportive of every theater and film community, too. I mean, there's great overlap between people doing film work and doing theater, I feel like.
Yeah, and the important thing about these is that it's they're small communities because it's not a huge secret. Like at least for film in Spokane, there's not like we're not making a ton of stuff. So the things that we do make, it's usually with a smaller group of people who are all connected and communicating with each other. And that's why it's also so special for theater in Spokane, and why because we don't have like 57 different things going on at once. When we do have these productions, we're able to support everyone, and we're able to go to these shows and we're able to go on and communicate with these people and make sure that everyone's supported.
Yeah, that's real. And now, do you have to be a student to be in a show at Spokane Falls? You don't,
no,
right?
No.
Are all of you students there, though?
I am.
I am.
I'm a student at SCC, technically.
Oh, okay. So you're part of the big... The Sasquatch, the big new Bigfoot recognizes.
That's why
you.
You're sitting on the other side of the desk.
Hold space for you.
Yeah.
Yes, that's wonderful. Do you feel okay about that?
I mean, absolutely.
Okay, good. Because when I went to Spokane Falls back in 1978, we were the Spartans.
Yeah.
And I always felt so bad. I thought, Spartans are so stupid. I always wanted to be a Bigfoot. I thought that's where it was. And later on, when I went to paramedic school, I got to be a Bigfoot over there. So that was pretty cool. But but it's kind of weird because you don't, if you want to take a class at Spokane Falls, you have to like register with Spokane Falls, right? They're not, is it connected now?
From what someone told me is you can still take classes at SFCC if you're enrolled at SCC. It's just that you can only have financial aid for one of them. And so I have to pay strictly out of pocket. It.
Okay. So they're kind of separate.
Yeah. Because you only have the federal aid from one school at a time.
Okay. That makes sense. How long have you all been rehearsing this?
We've been rehearsing for a little bit over a month now.
Okay.
I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And that's a pretty quick turnaround when you got to learn, because I mean, usually if there's music, there's dancing. Is there?
Yes.
Yeah.
There is
and
dancing.
That is tough on its own, I would imagine. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
especially when you've never done it before and like you're learning how to dance and sing at the same time.
Yeah, and you've been cast as every single role in a musical that does not involve dancing in your entire career. Actually, I haven't broken the streak. This is like the third musical I've been in that does not really require me to do any dancing.
Oh, so. Nice choice.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I lucked out here. The other guys here kind of have to suffer through it. But,
yeah. I always feel like, you know, in the beginning, you're just kind of like, look, okay, this is what the other people are doing. And then by the end of the performance, it seems like, I've got this down. Now it's too late. You know, it's all done. But, you know, you were right. Kind of talking about being in theater is sort of a bit of an addiction, isn't it, in a way? I mean,
yeah.
You're kind of like, oh, it's such a grind when you're doing it. And then
it's a rewarding grind.
Yeah.
It's an incredibly rewarding grind.
Yeah.
And when you have when it's the people really that make it what it is. Because when you have a cast like this or just a group of people working together to try and make something as complicated and hard as this is to make, naturally, it's just you all grow closer together.
Yeah.
And, you know, from its, you know, like barbecues outside of rehearsal or, you know, just getting to the campus early and working on stuff together. It's just, it's becoming part of something like a small, tiny family for 2 months. And then afterwards, you know, you're kind of just like, all right, bye, guys. But
yeah,
no.
It's so sad. I mean, it's really sad when that happens. Are you able to rehearse in the music building or do you have
yeah.
to? Okay, that's good. So that poor stage, it's Spokane Falls. The stage is kind of empty, kind of sad.
Yeah.
Nothing's going on there.
It's full of our set builds currently.
Oh, I bet. And, yeah. Oh, looking at the costumes that Patty showed me, pictures, they just look so fantastic.
Yeah. Patty's incredible, isn't she?
She is.
There is 91, over 91. 91 costumes between the 17 of us. I'm
pretty sure hand counting, too.
So for you, George Washington, and you, quick change.
Yeah.
A lot. Are there some really quick changes you have to make, too?
Yeah,
oh,
absolutely.
Those are so fun. I mean, it adds to the madness of the whole thing, huh?
We have a couple actresses doing quick changes, like every single second. And
yeah.
Just, as soon as they can. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's so fun and silly. So the music that you had to learn, was it, I was looking at some of it. It seems like it wasn't too bad as far as the lyrics and stuff. I mean, was it easy for you guys to pick up or was it hard?
Seeing as I've never been in a musical or
yeah.
choir or anything like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't easy.
Yeah.
But I've enjoyed it. We'll see how that translates on stage. I know the lines. I know.
Well,
it's how to sing it, I think, is the hard part. I know
well,
what
you know,
to sing.
It's funny because there's so many actors you'll see get interviewed on TV that will be like, well, I never had any plans on being an actor. And then somebody asked me if I could do this. And then I did. And now they're being interviewed on Colbert or something. So, yeah, I mean, so, you know, watch out.
They're trying to get me addicted. So,
yeah.
You know, like we've been saying the whole time.
Think you can handle the high?
it's so tempting.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that kind of, let's see if I got time. Well, I'll break, and then I want to ask you guys some questions about, like, you know, maybe some contemporary issues of doing this play that we're kind of the attitudes towards cannabis have changed and stuff. So I'm going to play a little music. And then we'll go ahead and, I have to do a bit. I'll do my bit first and then we'll do, I get so excited. I forgot to do my bit. So every week I read from a little chapter from On Tyranny and I don't read the whole chapter. I just read the beginning, but I always have to play this music because I think the music's really good too. All right, here we go. On Tyranny. 20 Lessons from the 20th Century by Timothy Snyder. Number 14, establish a private life. Nastier rulers will use what they know about you to push you around. Scrub your computer of malware on a regular basis. Remember that email is skywriting. Consider using alternative forms of the internet or simply using it less. Have personal exchanges in person. For the same reason, resolve any legal trouble. Tyrants, seek the hook on which to hang you. Try not to have hooks. And therein ends the lesson. So now I'm going to play music, and I'm going to load up my stuff that I have to play, and then we're going to come back, and you are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane.
But then I got high. Daddy got me into Yale to pass, but then I got high. Now every word I say is messed up, and I know why. Because I got high, because I got high, because I got high. I had to go to Vietnam, but then I got high. I tried to hide out in Alabama, but then I got high. I was way too scared to fight, so I had to lie. Because I got high, because I got high, because I got high. After 9-1-1, I was king, but then I got high. I had to catch that Osama ding-a-ling, but then I got high. Instead, I attacked Iraq, and no one knew why. Because I got high, because I got high, because I got high. Now we've got a big deficit, because I got high. Even Republicans are throwing a fit because I got high. Now the whole country is messed up, and we all know why. Because I got high, because I got high, because I got high. Any questions?
Yes, Mr. President, what about health care, Iran, and Social Security? What do you plan to do?
Hold on and let me think about it. You know, I say we get them homos instead.
Out and About receives support from Boots Bakery and Lounge, specializing in vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods. Located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street in Spokane. Open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Sundays. Full menu and information at bootsbakery.com. Out and About receives support from the Northwest Museum of Arts and Culture. The MAC presents Samurai Sunrise Sunset through June 1st, 2025. This exhibition features armor, weaponry, and personal items of Japan's samurai class. Located at 2316 West 1st Avenue in Spokane's historic Browns Addition, more information is available at northwestmuseum.org.
Support for Out and About comes from Eastern Washington University Running Start, where high school students can earn tuition-free credit before graduating. Applications at ewu.edu/runningstart.
Support for Out and About comes from the nonprofit Unitarian Universalist Church of Spokane, a vibrant liberal religious community welcoming persons of all ages, races, ethnicities, and sexual preferences to celebrate shared values and embrace all spiritual perspectives. The church offers two Sunday services as well as children and youth programs. Information available at uuspokane.org and 509-325-6383.
Hey, this is DJ Download from Inside the Hype Radio. Thousands of people choose KYRS as their radio station every week, and we want you to be a part of our family. Just text GIVE KYRS to the number 44321 and make KYRS your radio station.
The National Runaway Safeline is a communication system managed by the Safe Place Network as a resource for runaway and homeless youth, teens in crisis, and their families. It is confidential, anonymous, non-judgmental, and free. The hotline number is 1-800-RUNAWAY. Calls are answered 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
Howdy, folks. DJ Spokane got here. I host a music show called The Astral Range every Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. on this here community radio station, KYRS. For each week's show, I'll take listeners on a curated journey from the homespun folk selections,
building up to a sky-minded plateau of psychedelic terrain,
then down the mountainside to basic camp. Talking frontal lobe levitation, cerebellum sizzle,
medulla modulation,
and other forms of brain bubbling. Tune into The Astral Range, Fridays, 6 to 8 p.m. on KYRX 88.1 and 92.3 FM.
Okay, we are back on the air. Thanks for listening to all that stuff. It's great stuff, but we're back, and I'm talking to cast members from Spokane Falls Community College production of the musical Reefer Madness, which will be starting on Thursday and running through Saturday at 7:30. And these folks will tell you how to get tickets, but hint, hint, all you got to do is Google. You know, I mean, that to me, I can't, you know, http://. I mean, we don't need to do that stuff. So, hey, we're going to do a scene from that. We're actually going to do a song. And I'm really excited about this. Kane and Ruby are going to sing a song. And tell us a little bit about this.
Right. So, this is a song from the first time we see Jimmy and Mary. This is from this is where they're studying together for their high school English project, studying Romeo and Juliet. That's where we start off.
We're going to start about midway through the song, but all that you need to know about it is that Romeo and Juliet are high school sweethearts that believe they are just like Romeo and Juliet. Clearly, they have not read the end of the novel or the play.
and they're going to do it a cappella because, you know, I'm not smart enough to figure out how to hook up the music at this point. Okay, let's do this thing.
We are just like Romeo and Juliet. We're happy, young, and bubbling with love. I can't wait to read the ending.
No, I can't either, but I'm sure it turns out real swell. I bet Romeo marries his Juliet.
They have a baby.
And make lots of friends.
That's probably the way the play ends.
You dot teach the torches how to burn real bright.
Hanging like a jewel upon the cheek of night. Hark what light through yonder window breaks here. Will be future spouses put a plague on both their houses if we're wrong. Shakespeare!
Yay, that was
Thank
great.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, you guys. That was fantastic. And listening to some of the music, I mean, the songs are very funny. I had here to play, if we had time, the song Reefer Madness itself. But you know, I'd rather talk with you folks. And I was going to ask you, so, you know, do you think, like, you've seen the movie, the original movie, you've seen the, of course, the play that you're going to be in, and you're in the play that you're going to be in, and then eventually you will have done the play that you're in.
Yes.
I mean, it just keeps going and going. But do you think, is it hard to kind of conceptualize how, you know, the whole concept of marijuana was such a thing back then? Is it hard to enter into that mindset?
I don't think it's hard at all because everything that this play is about and everything that they're portraying, the whole demonization of marijuana, this kind of rhetoric still exists alive and well today, just with the next sort of thing that's getting, that's, you know, scary to people.
And I was going to ask, what do you think it is? What do you think the next thing is?
Oh, right now the next scary thing is absolutely probably like transitioning for people, like social transition.
Yeah.
Although it's not the same as marijuana, obviously. It's no, demonized it's in the exact same way.
It's not as much fun.
Yeah. No. So, yeah, it's all about, you know, using this as a rhetoric to say that it's people in power trying to hurt our youth and trying to, you know, sneak in socialist ideology through, you know, building blocks towards those next steps. So it's been the same thing. I'm sure this happened. There's something before marijuana. There's something before everything. It's all about, you know, finding things that are scary and new to try to control people.
Well, the Music Man, right? I mean, Pool, You Got Trouble. Right here in River City. I mean, you know, the pool, playing billiards was the thing for that musical. So how about the rest of you? Was it kind of hard at all to kind of think about this thing? Is this just so silly? Or
the first time I ever saw the movie, I said, that is a crazy movie. I understand the irony of it, but I would never be in that musical. And I mean, just to me, that was so scary. It's just so camp and it's so fun.
Yeah.
And now here I am and I absolutely love it. It has to be one of my top musicals now.
Look at how you have fallen. It's so sad.
Yeah.
One step away from being a communist.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, I've been accused of that before. So.
Yeah, me too.
Not too far from the truth.
Me too.
I mean, we've been doing it for so long now with rehearsals and everything. It's kind of crazy how even after all this time hearing the jokes, hearing the parody parts of this musical, how they still hit every time. It's really not hard to put yourself even in like the 1930s just to imagine what that was like, when it's so easy to laugh at how true the jokes still hold to this day. So, even after all this time, I'm enjoying the ride.
Oh, good.
Seeing where it goes, but
all right.
Can I get the question again?
Okay. Oh, are you playing your role right now?
Yeah. That's our Jack.
The question was, is it kind of hard, you know, looking back at how the attitudes of towards marijuana have changed over the years, is it kind of hard to kind of look at the role that you're playing and say, gosh, was this really ever a thing?
It's hard in the fact that I haven't ever had to play a villain before, but it's making up for the fact that he's like an overly cartoonishly villain. So he's like, you can find some humor in it. And so it's easy to act, but not hard to like understand where it was coming from, because it is just like the fact of control. And it's like saying anything you can to make people believe in what you're trying to say, in the old one.
Yeah.
And then in Common Day, like when you get like facts and evidence, it's like, well, none of that's true. It's really easy to point and laugh and
and
be the person to point and laugh at as the villain of the play.
And the villain, to me, I love being a villain in a play. I just feel like it's easy. You kind of can, you get to be a cartoon in a way.
Yeah, I'm really, really enjoying it. And I think it's so much fun because, like, you can, like, there's definitely humorous moments that I do, but, like, a lot of my scenes are, like, not played in a funny way. Like, like you have this super, like, overly funny musical and then, like, right into, like, super, super serious scenes. And so I get to really flex my acting muscles and,
And
being goofy, but also, like, just being completely serious. And
it'll be funny to hear where the laughs hit on this thing, you know, because I mean, like each night, you know, there'll probably be somebody who'll laugh at something different. Or what I love is when something is not supposed to be funny, and then somebody that's been funny, and then they laugh, but you can tell by the end of their laugh, they hadn't laughed. And then it cracks me up.
No, you could definitely say this show is laced with some racy jokes. Where there's some that we're still getting up to Tech Week, where we're like, we laugh in the middle of rehearsal and we say, I get that now.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. At least you guys are getting it. I've been in stuff where people will say, that line that you said, that and the double entendre in that just really hit me. And I go, oh God, I wish I had known that. I wish I was smart enough to figure that one out.
I think people just need to buy tickets to every night just so they can really just hear every joke.
Hey, that's a that is a great idea. And if so, if someone were to get tickets, how would they get tickets? I mean, could they get tickets every night?
They certainly could, couldn't they, Ruby?
They absolutely could. There are also various discount prices for your various qualifications for a discount. We have senior citizen discounts. We have a variety of student discounts, whether you're a student at SFCC or at a different college, or even like at any of our local schools, though I hope nobody under high school age is coming to see this show. Veteran discounts, so much. You can buy tickets at the door or online. If you would like me to read out a very lengthy little ticket spice link, I'm totally willing to.
How can you do it? I think I feel a challenge here. Like, can you do it dramatically to read the link?
Let's see.
I want to be crying at the end of this thing, so.
I guess the first struggle is finding the link.
That's part of the drama.
I mean, that's part of the drama. On radio, we would fill this with, like, some really moving music. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
bit.ly / SFCC horizontal dash, that's short and I don't know the name of, DRAMA - SPRINT 25.
Okay, that was good.
If that's a little hard, though, you can visit our Instagram or our Facebook and our website online. Those will all have the link directly attached.
Yeah, what do you guys like most about this story? I mean, when you go, is there a part of it that you just go, oh my gosh, I'm so happy to be doing this part of the show? Is there something that strikes you more than anything?
Yes.
Thank you. Well, that's all we have time for.
I didn't want to steal this from anyone else, but I almost feel like dirty saying this on air because I feel like you should like have to see it yourself before getting it spoiled to you. But there's a scene where the character of Jesus Christ themselves comes on stage. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They come on stage and they give this beautiful message to Jimmy in song form. And it's, as an actor, I don't know how much I can even speak on this. It was the most amazing experience I've ever had going on stage because I didn't realize what the costume was going to look like. Yes. And then one night we're just doing it. And then I see actual Jesus next to me. And it was the most difficult thing I've ever had to do not to break during that because it felt like Jesus was actually talking to me during that scene.
That would be very moving.
Absolutely. Yeah, he doesn't listen, but you know.
Yeah. Wow. That would, you know, maybe Patty will let him keep the costume because that would be, you could probably get a good gig with that.
Oh, yeah. I bet our Jesus actor could.
Now, do you know that, this is kind of a little bit of trivia, that the original Reefer Madness was funded by a church? The movie. Yeah, the movie, the money they got to make the movie, just like Plan 9 from Outer Space was funded by a church because Ed Wood, which they made a movie about Ed Wood, he told the church, I want to make these stories, these gospel stories for you, but we need money. And the thing that'll make money is a great science fiction movie. I can make you that movie. You can take the money and we'll make these. And of course, the thing bombed. Nobody got paid. No. Everything was bad. But so that, you know, it's kind of a connection. I think when churches get involved in this movie making, it's not always a good thing.
No, definitely not. I mean, especially when you're showing these to other high school students in the 30s. I mean, my own great aunt herself, my Aunt Debbie, shout out my Aunt Debbie. She was shown this school she was shown this film when she was growing up in high school.
You are kidding me. Really?
Wow. Really?
Like,
yeah.
As a straight thing.
Yes. Yeah. As a don't do drugs, like you're going to go to hell if you do drugs type of.
Wow.
Specifically weed, marijuana.
Yeah. And that's now Jesus wasn't in the original one, I wouldn't imagine.
I had the same question. I haven't seen the original.
Not the 1936 one, no.
Did kind of a little off subject here, which is kind of could be the name of my show, a little off subject, but did you all take driver safety, like in schools, that a thing?
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So still, did they show those movies of like the bad car accidents and stuff? Was that still a thing then?
In mine, they just showed us clips of car crashes and like what not to do.
But they didn't have like old movies from like the 50s where people were acted out like dead, being dead and stuff.
At least no. The closest thing that that got to that for me was during my health class in my freshman year. They showed like a reenactment of like an upside, like a flipped over car because of like a drinking and driving thing, or like a don't drink. It was like a whole that, but that wasn't really like a driver's ed thing, but close, I think.
Yeah. I sorry, that was off subject. But I just thought about the high school thing, you know, it is kind of funny that this scare stuff. And I think everybody is so savvy now that I would imagine that it would just have nothing but the opposite result for people, I would think. When you're done with this, do you have anything else that in your sights as far as acting? Is there any other productions that people can see you in besides this one coming up? Do you know about?
Not for me.
Nothing signed up for us. Yeah.
So folks listening to this, this is going to be your only chance, at least for a while, to see these folks together. This is going to be phenomenal. I mean, you got music, you got dancing, you got great costumes. I would imagine the sets are wonderful too, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah. And comfortable seats. That's a prerequisite for me. Why don't we play? I'm going to play a little song, and you guys can tell me, does this sound like you guys when I play the song?
Okay.
All right, here we go. And it is called, interestingly enough, Reefer Madness.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Creeping like a communist, it's knocking at our doors, turning all our children into hooligans and whores, voraciously devouring the way things are today, savagely deflowering the good old USA. Reefer madness, reefer madness.
Reefer madness, reefer madness.
Oh, so mad. See the kids, precious kids. Yes, their heads are on the chopping block, and someone's got to dare to take a stand. Can't ignore anymore. It could be your son or daughter with a deadly stick of reefer in a hand. Heading straight for
Reefer Madness, Reefer Madness, Reefer Madness, Reefer Madness.
Save our kids. Selfie as a socialist, it slithers up our shores,
turning all our children into hooligans and whores.
This smoking bowl of evil bears the choking stench of sin. It burrows like a weevil under tender Christian skin. This
Reefer Madness, Reefer Madness, Reefer Madness, Reefer Madness. Oh, so mad.
Pull the wool from your eyes. We're in need of righteous soldiers, for this merry wonder has to be destroyed. Fight the urge of this scourge. It's destructive but seductive.
So seductive as it's how to be ignored.
Put an end to
Reefer Madness, Reefer Madness, Reefer Madness, Reefer Madness. Oh, so
empty out our stores,
turning all our children into hooligans and whores.
Teenagers across the land are glazed and oversexed. If you fail to draw the line, your babies will be next. Oh! Save our country!
Reefer madness,
madness, madness, madness, madness,
reefer madness, madness,
Wow. Wow. Now, when we were playing this in the studio, we were talking a lot about this. And this is, you know, usually in these productions, you just have like a recording that you kind of do it to. But you actually have an orchestra doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Live band, yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's, so that adds a whole other element as far as with your singing and the dancing and all that. I mean, so are they there every rehearsal pretty much practicing this with you, or?
They will be this week, but we only got them last Wednesday.
Yeah, last Wednesday was our sits probe.
Yeah.
And are they Spokane Falls band folks, or are they?
They're students as well.
Okay. Wow. That's got to be a big job for them. Holy cow. Yeah. How many folks are in that band?
Four or five?
Okay,
six?
Wow, that's a lot of music for four or five people.
Yeah, we have a very talented director on the piano.
Yes.
Cedric.
Yeah. And Hazel Bean couldn't be with us here either. She's directing. How do you like, now, she's not going to listen to this show, so you guys can.
How's
Hazel? I know Hazel as an actor, but I don't know Hazel as a director. I mean, is she okay?
I mean, she's fine. I don't know.
She's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's been a very pleasant ride with her.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart. We had her on here for Minister of Sorrow. She was in that play. I don't know if you got a chance to see that. It was a one-person play. There was a guy who also played, he was sort of a character because he played the music. It was just one guy with a mandolin or a guitar, I can't remember, but she's phenomenal in that too. So I would imagine as a director, she's pretty darn good.
Yeah, someone that's in both production meetings and on the acting side of it, she just makes such strong choices in both movement and overall, like, tech stuff.
Yeah.
Like, she just creates a beautiful show. Stylistically, too. She really sets a good tone.
Yeah. And does she, now, she's not, is she working at Spokane Falls, or is she just the director that they got for this? I mean, she's not one of the instructors, is she, at Falls?
Technically, because this class qualifies under a 108 credit,
right.
she is an instructor, yeah. But prior to this show, I don't think she was.
Yeah, okay,
I think
that
we pulled
sense.
Her in specifically for this show. We were lucky enough to get her
in. Yeah, you were. Yeah, you were. That's pretty cool. Is it just because of the way the, is it quarters or semesters now there? It used to be, was quarters when I was there. Still quarters?
Still quarters.
Is it just because of the length of the quarter that it's just running two or 1 week only?
We don't really know. There could be a variety of reasons. We're just little actors here.
Yeah. Okay.
This question goes up to the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want anybody to get in an accident or get their fingers.
I would hate if something bad happened to you for asking this question.
Yeah. I know why. You know, it's okay. It's for everybody's own good. That's a shame. I mean, in a way, it's a shame, but in another way, I guess it's good to... You put everything that you have in these three performances, so they're going to be dynamite.
Yeah.
And, so I guess, do you guys have anything you want to talk about? Any questions for me? Anything? Did we hit everything? I don't know. I mean, we still have time, so... I think I've asked all the questions I have. Oh! I know what I was going to say. So have any of you ever done, well, maybe you're not old enough to do drunk Shakespeare stuff? Have you ever been to drunk Shakespeare?
No.
Yeah, so it's kind of, I don't know, it's like, it's where you go and then you have some shots. Usually people, it's usually for like a fundraiser, at least around here. I know in Chicago there was a place, I went to see Second City there 2 weeks ago, and there was a troupe that does like a drunk Shakespeare thing all the time where they get drunk and they perform Shakespeare. But usually it's like a fundraiser. They'll buy people in the production drinks so you can not do your lines right. And so it's all funny, which is great because you don't really have to know your lines that well. Right? Just kind of act a little drunk and, you know, it's pretty good. So, but I was wondering if they've ever done like a High Reefer Madness.
Oh, man.
Oh, that was a good one.
Like, I'm just wondering where to sign up. I'm asking for a friend, okay?
Yeah. Oh, man. You know, I've got a lot of bad ideas. Okay, if you were going to do a parody for today and the line in like Reefer Madness, is there any kind of thing that you would go looking back, maybe from when you were younger, that would be lampooned today, would make like a comparable, if you were going to take something that you saw and go, oh, you know, this would be funny to make fun of? This is why I'm such a good host, because I ask questions that nobody's ever heard before. So then it stumps them. So then we don't have a conversation.
Yeah, so it's just sitting in silence.
Which is really cool.
Yeah. And then
there's a lot of tension. People are driving right now and they're adjusting their radio. And they're all like, oh, is this thing still on?
I think I grew up in the age of kind of risque cartoons. Okay. So I'm wondering if maybe, and parents always tried to get you to get off those channels.
Like Ren and Stimpy type stuff?
Those might even not be as risky as a South Park.
Good example.
But I do remember back in the day, people did have qualms with some shows like that.
They
may have seen on the TV.
Yeah.
I mean, my mom had qualms with SpongeBob.
So. Same! Yes! I was never allowed to watch SpongeBob as a kid.
What was it about SpongeBob?
I would have no idea, because the line that maybe this is a direct parallel to a Reefer, because it was that it's brainless and it'll rot your brain because it's SpongeBob, and I guess the jokes are inappropriate or something on SpongeBob.
Not for me, just because I would repeat SpongeBob over and over again. And
you know, my grandson. He did that to Curious George. He would do the, because the cartoon, and he'd do, like that. And that was it. They're like, you are not watching Curious George. I'm thinking, but Curious George, he's so harmless. But now, you know, he likes SpongeBob.
I think a good spoofed one would be D&D, though. I think enough time has passed. Like, point fingers and laugh at all the stigma behind that, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's She Kills Monsters, I think.
Yeah.
Saw that, actually.
Yeah,
too.
That's a good show. They did, or they're going to do a production of that.
Yes, they all. They did it, and it was awesome. It was just a few weeks back.
Okay.
Square, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that was... one of our friends was actually the lead in that, and that was so. It was just.
Where
so
did they cool. perform that at?
They performed that in the mall.
That's right, over by where the movie
behind where the food court is.
Yeah,
the little hidden area.
That's a good idea for a space.
Yeah, it was great. I can confirm it was a very good idea. I did enjoy that production very much, and it had some of the spoof to it as well with the ridiculousness of it was Hitchhiker's Theater is who did it, by the
Hitchhiker
way.
Theater yeah. I need to get those guys in here sometime to talk to them. All right, well, I guess we'll exit with a little music, but before we do, people tuning in just now, you know, saying, oh, is this show over yet? Maybe I can listen to Jim Hightower and Amy Goodman. Nope, it's not over yet. So we are talking, we're concluding this conversation with folks from the production of Spokane Falls Community College production of Reefer Madness, a musical with live music, and some people are allergic to the reefer. But why don't we let people know how they can get tickets? The easy way. You don't have to do a dramatic.
Ruby's been knocking it out of the park.
Yeah.
Great. I was really going to pass the torch to you guys.
Yeah, we don't want to overdo it. We already have people weeping. So
you can buy tickets online through the Spokane Falls Spartan Theater's Instagram or Facebook. There will be a direct link attached. Or you can do a simple Google search, Spokane Falls Reefer Madness tickets, and it'll come right up. Nobody else in the area is named Spokane Falls or is performing Reefer Madness, so you should have no problem with that.
That's right. And you can count on this show being here Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30. And will there be people? It's a big campus. So if somebody says, "Oh, I want to go to the show, but I'm a little bit scared. I don't know if I can find my way." Will they be able to find their way to this thing, or will it turn into like a tale of survival?
I think it should be pretty easy, especially in comparison to the Spartan Theater or normal theater.
Yeah.
The music building is directly attached to a giant parking lot.
Is it on the front side, the parking lot?
It is towards the back side of campus, right where all the new development is happening with our arts building. So if you look for a bunch of stained glass, big windows, you're in the right place.
Yeah, basically look for the prettiest building and you're there.
Okay, excellent. Well, thanks everybody for being here. And thanks to the listeners for listening to us here at Out and About Show. And you are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane 88.1 and 92.3 FM. And I'll see you next week. Bye.
There's a species of birds named superb starlings, and I propose that we elect one of them to be our next president. That's because these wise creatures have figured out how to make egalitarianism central to their society, with a diversity of birds actively supporting each other. When bringing food back to their chicks, for example, adult starlings commonly share some with hatchlings of an unrelated flock. In turn, those birds repay the good deed in later breeding seasons. Contrast this bird nest ethic of the common good with the culture of right-wing minginess now being pushed furiously by Trump's cacistocracy of billionaires and despotic ideologues. Four of his overprivileged cabinet appointees, for example, Bobby Kennedy, Dr. Oz, Brooke Rollins, and Scott Turner, recently ganged up on hard-hit poor families who receive modest public help for essential human needs like food and health care. The four politicos piously wailed that welfare programs are an intolerable burden on wealthy taxpayers, so they intend to slash spending by forcing the poor to take jobs before getting any public help. But their claim that hordes of worthless sponges are living high on food stamps and Medicaid is the same BS such plutocrats always spread when trying to keep our society from being as smart, decent, and ethical as starlings. Their scolding dictate that you must work is pointless grandstanding. Nearly all Medicaid recipients, for example, already have jobs, or they are children, seniors, or disabled. This is Jim Hightower saying, there's a four-letter vulgarity that fits Kennedy, Oz, Rollins, and Turner. Mean. Okay, technically mean is not an obscenity, but when powerful tax-paid elites like them are mean to poor people for political gain, they are in fact obscene and disgusting. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
Hey, this is Ken Stringfellow
and John Auer
from the Posies, and you're listening to
KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and 92.3 FM.
KYRS Medical Lake and K222BG Dartford, 88.1 FM and 92.3 FM, Thin Air Community Radio.
The following program was pre-recorded.
This is Democracy Now!
My uncle's wife, Dr. Ala Amin Najjar, she's a doctor for the children. She treats children. And in a moment, her daughters and her sons died. Yahya, Sidra, Luqman, Sadin, Rival, Jubran, all of them died.
A Palestinian pediatrician in Gaza is back at work just days after an Israeli airstrike killed 9 of her 10 children. Dr. Al-Najjar's husband and their 11-year-old son were seriously wounded.
will go to Gaza and speak to a British surgeon who operated on the son.
What on earth can you say to a woman who has lost 9 out of 10 children aged between 12 and 6 months, all in one bomb blast?
Then we look at President Trump's escalating war on Harvard University after a judge temporarily blocked Trump's move to ban Harvard from enrolling international